you get, is there any honorable members outside? Fate. You all know that, like anybody else. Hey, Mr. Fate, you are not going to say anything. You are just going to sit there. You are just going to listen. As a member of the public, he is allowed to be here. So, as there are no, I've consulted Parliament and the legal, and the lawyers as well. So, if there were objections planned, it came to my ears, but I'm just clarifying it now so that it can be known that anyone can participate, whether if the matter is in your interest or not. As long as you sit there, you don't say anything. If you start objecting, then we will take you out. Thank you. I must also secondly say that DJ, one of our requirements, the meeting was supposed to take place, as you all know, it was going to be the DJ and council, but because of the honourable members who requested that, no, they can't be excused, because we want to understand what is the current state of affairs, because of the letters that we have in front of us, and also unions coming to us, because they say that council is reporting to Parliament. Apparently, the political intervention, as we're all politicians who are deployed, they were reports that we have to submit back as soon as possible. But I must say that, DJ, I'm disappointed, because one of the requirements that we said to you is that the whole board must be here. And I'm shocked to see, we as a committee are shocked to see that it's only the chair and the deputy chairperson. And these are some of the things that we said we would not want, because now it sends that message, another message to us. Is the requirement. But I must say, honorable members, I'm shocked that there's a CFO, because the financial manager who's been coming here, and I don't understand why was the CFO not coming to our meetings as we had requested a senior management. I'm actually shocked. But sadly, there were apologies of the CFO, according to our records. So CFO, were you aware of our meeting?
So I heard.
Yeah?
Yes.
What do you mean, so I said?
I knew they had come to Parliament to do presentations, and I heard they've been in Parliament, and then the feedback in the executive meeting, they had come to Parliament.
Yeah?
As I said, so I heard, yes.
So Parliament was undermined to say that the apology was the meaning. The apology was saying that he was sick or something, if I remember very well. You could not come.
My daughter was in the first time. Mm-hmm. I was in on the Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Wednesday I didn't come. And the second time, my daughter was in hospital on the Tuesday. She went in for an operation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's the only two occasions that I was aware of.
Okay, honorable members, in front of you, you have the documents, all the hotspot documents, and I believe all honorable members have read them. And secondly, you have all the other documentation that we have received, that you have read. But thirdly, you have what's the document again? The financial documents in front of us, because one of the issues was that we require the financial breakdowns, because as you currently know, that a council is in a state of deficit, and when we want to ask more money for them, the breakdown has to be given. With what happened? What are the legal costs that have been costing the organization? And that is what was required mostly from the breakdown. We must be honest here, Dr. Malik, as you're going to tell us, and Mr. Sepi, that one of the challenges that we think we see more than anything else is an abuse of power, that's the best word I can use, or in leadership are challenges as well. Maybe we can give you whatever that you want to say right now or present, because there's no presentation that you gave us, because it was on the sake of affairs. So maybe we should give it to you. We can give over to you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, for this opportunity that you are affording me today, this morning. Yes, we have received an invitation through the office of the acting CEO that I should be attending to the portfolio committee today. And it was specifically mentioned that I would have to bring the deputy chair and the executive management. However, I can only indicate again today that the board is also invited by the DG to attend the meeting today, this afternoon. And we are also not quite sure about the agenda. And we were also indicated our inform tomorrow when we are traveling here about the issues that we have to come and present. And one of the requests was that we should come up with a breakdown of the expenses that were incurred on the matters concerning Advocate Fanny, Mr. Smithani, and the former PENSAC CEO. We have tried our best, the Madam Chair, to try and retrieve the information so that the honorable members of this committee will be able to scrutinize them and also make well-informed decisions. I might, if you allow me, Madam Chair, I would also like to apologize for if maybe the board have been understood to undermine the portfolio committee. We were not aware whether the CFO have been specifically been informed about that, but we are happy that he also explained to this committee that he could not attend the previous meetings that the portfolio committee have invited us due to unforeseen circumstances, and of course which were unavoidable. I must also point out, Chair, that if you allow me then to, because we are not sure exactly what to present on, and probably what I would like to give the committee is just to give the background of my experience as the chairperson of the Pan South African Language Board about the financial challenges that these institutions have been facing all along. I must indicate that in my analysis, I have discovered that with PENSALP, after it has been accepted or established by the Department of Arts and Culture, with the amendment of the 1999 Act, the National Lexicographic Units were then attached to the department, to PENSALP, and that there was a one-off payment to help it to kick off of about 10 million. And then thereafter, the institution could not get a constant financial support to see through that the National Lexicographic Unit would continue to perform their mandate. However, it also, through the SCOPA's recommendations, was that PENSALP is not visible to the members of the public, and therefore the recommendation thereof was PENSALP should establish the provincial offices at the nine provinces, and this was carried out, but there was no long-term substantial support to see to it that it becomes sustainable. So that was the inception again of those provincial languages with managers. They also had to balance the financial budget or the budget of the institutions as a whole. But on top of that, my observation is that in the absence, there was a period of dormant where the board was non-existent of about 8 months. And there were also the promotions that happening that took place in that period. This, maybe just to quote some examples, my observation is that also the expense are, due to the demand, we had to make some few appointments, and these were not in line with the budget that we have. Now, as a result, because of the constant rise of the rentals, because of the labor relations issues where labors and public servants should be getting annual increments, the budget of PENSALP was also very constrained. They're not able to meet those demands. Now, when we looked at where we communicated in then as the new board, we realize then that we have to operate within the given budget, but at this stage, because of the economic status whereby we have to comply with the labor relations issues of annual increments and rentals, that would not be possible. And that it would also not be possible to carry out the manual of terms of that of book of languages. Now, having done that, or maybe with that background that I've given to the members here now, we then came up the issue of the acting of the CEO and then of the legal team. My understanding also as a chairperson is that if you look at the structure of PENSAP itself, the executive management, we have the, we found that there was the CEO, the deputy CEO, the CFO, there was also the advocate who was handling the legal team. My understanding would be that that has also a heavy, you know, personnel or executives that will also take up a lot of the budget of PENSAP. But having said that, these were done in good intentions, but I think that the long-term financial support was not put in place to carry out that mandate. We have suspended the CEO because of insubordination, because at that time we realized that we have put a moratorium to any suspension, any promotions and all that, but the former CEO carried on doing those, so that was the reason why we suspended him. And then consequent to that, we then requested to have the investigation against him, and then the whole process took about 2 years. The case was finally completed, and she was also given the opportunity to appeal. And consequent to that also, we have the case of Advocate Feni, which is also also in the court today. But before the meeting, the normal meeting of PENSAP, I then received a memo from the union that they have some concerns. And I responded to them to say, I have received and I acknowledge the receipt of your memo, and I will table this before the board. And indeed, I did do and submit the memo to the board. We then requested the acting CEO to give his own version, and we listened to that, and then we made a decision. And one of the decisions that we made was that we then made a decision as the board that, seeing that with the background that we have had from the acting CEO, there was the union that existed before that has met with the management and they've come up with certain conclusions or decisions, and now we have the new union that has some consent, and that they have now directly written to the board that it would be proper for them to follow the proper grievance procedure, which is outlined in the PENSAP Act. So we have since written a letter to them, and they have received it on Monday, that they should follow the correct grievance procedure. My understanding, on behalf of the board, they have taken that decision to allow the negotiation process to take place between management and the union. And that if the union has exhausted all those, you know, line of, you know, communication, it would then be proper for the union to write to the board. So that was the decision. And on Friday that afternoon, then we have received the invitation that we should come and appear before the portfolio committee. Madam Chair, that is the summary of the events that lead to this meeting today. I would like to ask the finance office to present the financial statement on the expenses incurred. Thank you, Madam Chair.
financial manager reporting, not the CFO. Because we call the CFO when people say senior management. Can the CFO report? Because you see, unfortunately, honorable members, this is one of the behaviors that we've seen, is that at first, now, the financial manager is reporting. Why is the CFO not reporting? That's why we call the CEO to be here, so that he can report. We don't want the financial manager to report. We want the CFO to report. That's why with the letter was clearly stated that we need our senior management. So CFO, can you report? If you can't report, that's tell us the truth here. Or I can't report because I don't know what is happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the legal fees breakdown for Mrs. Nkosi. The legal fees, I'll go by it. The total legal fees from the 1st of July 2010 to the 31st of March 2011 total 5.4 million rand. Now this is made up. It says point number one on the top there. I'm not sure if I have copies of it. Okay, it says there for the initial project.
Reinstated, but we could not speak also on the issue of the dismissed CEO because we felt that if the court is better, he's still appealing to the minister as he had to appeal. The meeting that we're supposed to have with the DG today is because these are some of the issues that must be clarified. But we felt that before you meet the DG, we must meet the portfolio committee. Because even the DG is reporting to us, even the minister is reporting to us, we must know what is happening, you know. And thirdly, unfortunately, we cannot give you some of those letters in front of us for now because you will be answering us based on this, you know, because there's no identity hidden, and people know that the portfolio committee will report to us. So if the certain level cannot help you, you go to a higher structure. And along with DG, if Mr. Ndima is not helping, the person goes to you. If you are not helping, you go to the minister. So that's how the outcry is. And I think while we're waiting for those copies, those questions can be answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Mr. Davan, I've got it out. Is everybody sorted out? Okay. You'll hold those questions because I thought before, because there was, you can continue. We are all this legal breakdown.
Thank you, Chairperson. So as you said on point one, where it says on the left-hand side, for the initial prosecutor, two chairpersons of the hearing, these were advocates that were appointed by the state attorney. The amount there was 956,497 rand. Then we go down to this next, number two. Now this was cost for attorney and advocate on representation in various courts.
Where are you, Esther?
Ma'am, the second number, number two, the first page.
Oh, I thought it was.
It says on the top, ma'am, was the cost breakdown, Mrs. NR Nkosi. On this page, it's legal fees for MS NR Nkosi. Are you on the same page?
Yes.
Okay, ma'am. So now we're on number two, where it says now cost for attorney and advocate on representation in various courts prior to the hearing, reformulation of charges and preparation, consultation with forensic auditors, representation in court case during the hearing where the Minister of Arts and Culture and Board were taken to court. The amount there was 3,014,200 rand. Then the next number three, presiding officer at the disciplinary hearing. Now this was a senior counsel appointed as per the court order. This amount in total was 1.2 million.
So, who? What happened?
Yeah, that's for the senior counsel. He was appointed as presiding officer, ma'am. Those are the fees for senior counsel as per recommended tariffs.
Okay. Then you approved it?
Ma'am, I don't approve payments to that amount.
Who approved it?
That should be approved by the acting CEO.
Okay.
It was 1.215,917. Then we go to the total for the legal fees, which gives us 5,186,615 rand and 34 cents. Now we also categorized this as well as in terms of other expenses. Now other expenses you'll see it generated just thereafter. It goes as, for example, venue for the hearing, for all the days of the hearing, that cost us 180,390. And outside witnesses, there it says point four there. Outside witnesses at the hearing, this was the specialist who did the Nkonki forensic auditing. They did the forensic audit for the case of the CEO, as well as Lloyd Fulune. They were our internal auditors. They were called as witnesses. And the amount there was 22,566.90. So that was the other expenses. Then you go to other total expenses, which we had to also include there. The subtotal for this came to 202,956 rand and 90 cents. Now the other total expenses, where it says point five, board members, travelling and rates, expenses for CCMA, because the case also had to go to CCMA. This cost us 26,305 rand and 13 cents. And then point number six, which was transcriptions which you have to do for the hearings. This was 55,951 rand and 20 cents. The total of these two total other expenses were 82,256 rand and 33 cents. All in all, when you add these two subtotals, it gives us total legal fees for Mrs. Nkosi's case, 5,471,828 rand and 57 cents. Madam Chair.
Okay.
This is for Mrs. Nkosi, ma'am.
For an organization that is not a deficit. Okay, I will give over to Dr. Malisa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With your directive, I would request that the...
Is this one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
With your directive, Madam Chair, I would like to request that the CFO present all the expenses incurred in all the three cases, so that when they are deliberated upon, then we have a background. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I'd go next on to the cost breakdown. Can I continue? Okay. This cost breakdown is for the Advocate Fanny's case. I don't know if we can get it on there. It starts on the top, says cost breakdown, Fanny. Okay. Where it says the first heading says hearing, and then it says point one, prosecutor at disciplinary hearing. This cost us 75,368 rand. Then point number two was hearing transcriptions which are required, 5,988 rand and 42 cents. And three, chairperson of the hearing. This was 26,904 rand. Which gave us a subtotal of 108,260 rand and 42 cents. Then we go a little lower down on the page. It says legal fees. Now these are for various court cases. 264,940 rand. The grand total that we have spent thus far is 373,200 rand and 42 cents. That's for the advocate for anyone. I will.
Can you just repeat the last total?
Yeah, grand total, 373,200 rand and 42 cents, ma'am.
Okay.
To the.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, can I move on to the next legal fees?
Okay.
The heading there on the top says legal fees for Mr. Simelane. If the members are with that. For the hearing here, point number one, for the prosecutor at this disciplinary hearing, it cost us 11,400 rand. Then the next point two is chairperson for this hearing, which cost us 7,500 rand. The subtotal for this cost us 18,900 rand. Then thereafter, there was a case for the CCMA. Now, for PANSELF to have a representation at the CCMA, it cost us 14,250 rand. Then there's legal fees of 45,000 rand, further legal fees of 4,802 rand. Then Mr. Simulana's matter was reviewed for the labor court legal fees. This was 77,030 rand. And the subtotal there was 141,082 rand. Then point number two at the bottom again you would see there. These were traveling expenses incurred to travel from Pretoria to the CCMA case in KwaZulu-Natal. This was for the prosecutor, witnesses, and the chairperson of the disciplinary committee. This cost us 21,698 rand and 15 cents. The grand total spent for Mr. Simelane's legal fees was 181,680 rand and 15 cents, Madam Chair.
Why?
on the side.
Okay, thank you. I will thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, over to Dr. Madan.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. That is the presentation on the expenses on the clinical cost. I don't know what will be the direction thereafter, ma'am, because this is what the portfolio committee requested to present, that is the legal cost.
You see, I think, as I said that earlier on, can you just briefly give us, I thought you said the acting CEO will say something as well. Just give us the current state of us, because what we are going to ask here, it's not going to be a nice meeting, I must say. You know, because we want the truth, and you give us the truth. There is nothing personal, we are doing our job, as I said earlier on. But I know members are noting questions and all that. You can give over whoever wants to say anything.
Yes, thank you very much, members of the committee. Well, these are the fees, and it is true that as accounting officer, I approved these invoices, and that these invoices have been audited by the Auditor General. All these legal fees have been subject to the audit of the Auditor General. As such, we have not been able to categorize each invoice and the work that has been done for it. But the Auditor General has gone through that process. In fact, it has briefed the board in its last meeting, which was on the 25th and 26th of August, a week ago, that there has been nothing wrong with these legal fees. That is the briefing the AG gave to the board, and I hope at some point it will give to Parliament. However, going forward from here, we continue to be available to provide information around all the costs that relate to this. But with regards to the case of the CEO, it has been a long case, and the fees are reflective of that. The chair has also asked me to speak on the state of affairs at Tanzania. And I think the chairperson of the board has really touched on this matter. That the at Pencil people continue to work as normal. Pencil has disciplined certain people in terms of its regulations. There are court cases that continue with regards to Advocate Finney and Mr. Simelana, and these matters are in court. And courts are the final arbiters on those matters. However, it did happen that the union changed its leadership. In fact, three times in the last 2 months. But the newly elected shop stewards, who have not met with management at this point, wrote to the board to raise certain matters, which in the view of the board. And they attached that, I must also add, that in the, and they CC'd me as well, in the communication to the board, which was said to be a grievance, they attached signatures of staff which attended a meeting. Now that is not how a grievance is made. People attend a meeting not because they are going to agree on all the points that are raised. And as a matter of fact, when the board received this kind of communication, a second communication was received by the board from staff members who were concerned that they were misrepresented in that they did not sign a grievance, but they merely attended a meeting and signed an attendance register. It is also a pity that, and the board was given 7 days to respond, and the board responded within that 7 days. And the memo said, should the board not deal with the matters, they would be taken to external, to third party. To our surprise, the memo was communicated as confirmed in the newspaper, even before the board responded within the time period. It was communicated to the next level. The board meetings have been attended to. So, where we're standing now is that there is no grievance at Sensan. We were also informed that there is, in fact, I think Parliament was also informed, and the department, because we got a delegation from the department which came to check if there is no industrial action at Sensan. And they will also confirm that there was no industrial action, not even a possibility thereof in the organization at Jefferson. But if the committee feels that we must deal with the issues that have been raised in that memo, because they have been brought to my attention as well and I've responded, we can do so.
Thank you, honorable members and honorable guests. I must just also firstly indicate that we also meet the Auditor General, it's not a problem, timelessly. And secondly, to say that for an organization to receive an unqualified report is very good, but it doesn't mean that there's no power abuse inside. I think that must be the stated here. I think the tone is also telling us that maybe we are talking about something that we don't know. But that's the DG, you and them do. I think these matters have been raising with them, because we did not want to see ourselves. And Mr. Sweep, just for information, Mr. Dima was sent by me to over to Pulsars after I was getting calls, and then I said, just go over there and just find out what is really happening. You know, you see the unfortunate part in the labor sector. People might not do an industrial action as it requires certain legislation procedures to follow, but it will just tell you. Not to say that we are taking sides, but yeah, this is a problem that we had with one organization reporting like this, and then poof, kinds of things are really happening. And my first question would be, these fees, from what I see, do not include the latest, because recently I think there is still a court case that is going with Mr. Fain, I believe, and there were still more fees coming. And what are the projected costs of those? The presentation was supposed to include those costs that are currently being incurred right now. But I think before I ask a lot, Mr. Dr. Manette, maybe can you just tell the committee, or just tell us, in your meeting on the 1st of September 2008, you, Professor Zodwa Muta, you said, DG, now, they are not here, they postport members, because now we have minutes in front of us. A referred to the dismissed CEO as that was not appointed by the board. So, can you just tell us what does that mean? Honorable members, I will give you a chance to respond to raise your questions. Can I know hands? Dr. Lotrit, Honorable Kwarai, Honorable Dapane, Honorable Moss, Honorable Jekela, okay. Honorable Mshwana, Honorable Lotrit.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to go to the costs, the legal fees. I don't know who will be able to answer this, but could you please give an indication, when we look at the disciplinary hearings, in each of those cases, how many days did each of those hearings take? So how many days was Nkosi, Simelane, and Feni respectively? And then I think I want to support the Chair as well in saying that just because you receive an unqualified audit, it does not mean that everything is fine. It just says that it gives a fair reflection of the expenses. So I don't think we can take that as any kind of proof that things are fine. And then, Chair, regarding the staff situation, this is not really a question, it's a concern that I have, in that this union or the staff members are now referred back to senior management to negotiate, but that's where the problem is. That's the problem they have, is with management. So I fail to understand how the board could not have looked at other options instead of sending them back to the people they have a problem with. I can't see how, and I apologize for saying this, but to hide behind a technicality,
yes,
in this regard, I find problematic given the situation in which PANSELP is that it cannot fulfill its mandate.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable Jorge?
Sure, thank you very much. I heard the CFO say he didn't approve any payment on this matter. It's the acting CEO approved. I just wanted to get it clear when the CFO advised the CFO, the acting CEO on this matter. That's only the clue that I wanted to hear from the CFO. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chikola.
Yes, mine is just to check out with the leadership. What is the working relationship between the management and the staff currently? And the second one would be, what strategy are you intending to put in place whilst you would be seeing, like anybody else in the country, that the image of PANSELP is actually continuously getting damaged, you know, in the face of the public?
Thank you, Honorable Sir. Honorable Lutrick has covered the first question, but a follow up now to that one. If there is no grievance before the board acting CEO, what do you call upon to respond within 7 days if there is no grievance? Secondly, I would like to know further, because there are hearings left and right, how much is the staff turnover? Now coming to the cost now, which one came first between the case of Ngozi and the other two? I am asking this question because you paid close to $1 million in that case for prosecution. And in other two cases, it's far much less than that. So I'm asking this question because if this one came first, why didn't you stick to the same business who prosecuted? And then you opted now. Okay, it doesn't matter. Actually, what I want to know is which one came first. I'm driven to ask this question based on the amount you paid. Secondly, in the same Ngozi case, item number two, how long did this case take? And secondly, was this bill debt before you paid? Was it debt by the debt master before you paid? I would also love to know and also to see this court order that said a senior counsel must be appointed, and the reason why the court gave such an order. And I also want to know the outcome of all these cases. In that was the case again, item number five, traveling expenses of board members. How many board members attended that case? Did they participate in the case? Was it very necessary for them to go and attend the case? Item number six, in the subscription fees, do you have the receipts from the transfer? Simelane case, there are witnesses and prosecutor that you have incurred costs for their travel to KwaZulu-Natal. How many days, okay, how many times they traveled, and what mode of transportation did they use to come to this amount of money? Item number three in the Simelane case. There is pencil representative at CMA. Below that, there are legal fees. Can you clarify what's going on here? Whose legal fees are these two below that pencil representative? Whose legal fees are those? Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
Honorable Moss.
The answer to question up front. Is there a willingness to solve this problem? Asking this question is on base of the organizations there to transform South Africa. It's not about satisfying individual people. And that's why I'm asking this question. Is there a willingness to solve this problem? Because you can't go on and on and on and you can't reach some of consensus. Secondly, the CFO has said the acting CEO was approved, of course. Of course. So I want to ask myself a question. What did the board say about this course? Is it not that the board must be also take part of the decision if they come more of a certain amount? Because the board have a role to play to make sure that this organization is moving forward according to the law and the constitution and the act they put in. So, the chairperson, I know according to the PSFA and the MFMK, there is certain amount that the CAFO can approve, but also we must know what is the amount that the CEO can approve and what are the board saying about it. And what is the supply chain saying according to this cost of this lot of money. Say, on the issue of the hearing, as the other honorable members say, I can see the trust of this organization is broken. In your workplace, if you don't have trust and respect, you will not go forward. What type of strategy do you have in place to turn it around? That people can get their dignity back according to anybody have a right to her or his. So what will this board do really to get the dignity back of the organization? And part of your staff, of your management. And say, my question will be also, if this case be finalized, and the outcome is that the people must go back, what type of attitude will be there in that working place to welcome those people back? And what will be the relationship for those people who must go back to workplace? Because it will not be nice and you getting up in the morning when you must be ready, make you ready for work. I mean both sides. When you must go to your workplace and you know you are not welcome there. I know I speak today as a member of as a parent. And I want to really say, I know we can't decide on time frame of court cases or whatever, but at least in your mind, there must be a voice who tells you, no, you must come for the end of this situation. And I can remind you, before 1994, where our previous president, he put his pride aside and saying, we want to build this nation. We want to bring all together, black and white, to be on one track to move forward. Now, why can we not do that for the sake of the people of South Africa? I'm really saying this with part of my heart, really. Whoever you are, really go back and think about really about this. Because it's not about your money, it's taxpayers' money. And really, the board must assist those people that will really come to the end of the issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before I also note other honorable members, I just want to say, honorable members, just relax. I know it's your lunch time. I've organized lunch, so I'll pay for it personally. So don't worry. Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, I did, because I know last time you nearly killed me. But we've also asked for permission to extend, to sit beyond from the house up to 3 o'clock. So we will have lunch. I know I will see you disappearing, but yeah. My question also goes further to say that, number one, PEMSARS is the organization that came into this parliament not long ago to say that they have a lack of funds. They've suspended programs because of a lack of funds. But now it amazes me that with this lack of funds, they will pay over 5 million rand for legal fees. I think I have a serious challenge here. Secondly, the court ordered that Fanny must be reinstated, if you remember, on November. And we also advise that the two advocates, Fanny and Ms. Malani, must be reinstated. It's in our minutes as well that last week honorable members said they must be reinstated. What is the issue that they must not be reinstated? The truth must be told here. Not because we see Fanny here. Our counselors and I, we've been raising this issue. As the court, the same court advocate, Dapan, Yad Malabi Limsevenzi, then there was a refusal. What do you call that? Thirdly, you know, is there any other mechanism that can be used by the board? That's why you have all these labor relations. Any other to solve this dispute other than the court, the court processes? Because now it has eaten over 10% of the budget, the same budget that they say they don't have, and there's a lack of funds. Is there any other measure? That's why this country has all those labor relations, to go up to the last person who must assist you. And that's why the board is also there, to assist, to serve, to calm some of the issues. Unfortunately, unless then the board is also connecting with someone within the organization, because all these board DGs that we've been meeting were having problems, have someone inside, you know. Ndu, there's an organization here which has an SIU approved by the minister, and there was nothing happening, unfortunately. So the SIU was supposed to go to PEMSARS, unfortunately. I say it without fear, because that seems is a serious problem with it. Why I call it senior management? The acting head of languages, can you tell us what is the challenge? What have you done? Because PEMSARS was a mandate, even mandated by the constitution, to promote the languages of South Africa. Now, what are you going to do with the same? What have you done since? Because anything that you get from PEMSARS is a legal fees. Who went to court, who did not go, what programs have been funded? What have you done? How far have you achieved based on that? I will ask that because you said current state of affairs. I want to ask where are the HR officer? We asked for an HR officer. Mr. Tokwane, there are labor laws in South Africa that we follow. You try and solve disputes in a very civil manner. Sometimes I always say we are Africans. We try to talk to each other further and understand, but if we are not, we can't be civil with each other. Then you go
pure glory by you. Well, now what are you saying? Are the people happy? You must tell us the truth. No one is going to suspend you or do anything to you. You must write to me because that's what we want to ask the portfolio committee. What is really happening? You can't have this cocaine of letters of complaints. And unfortunately, these are not anonymous. People have written their names and their numbers. You know, if it was anonymous, I was not going to entertain it. I was going to say it's a rumor. I was not. You are not even going to come here. You know, Mr. Singh, you realize that you don't know anything also. The sales manager has taken over. When are you just saying? So I would not have this, Mr. Tokwai, if not this thing, because I believe the HR is there. Part of it is employee assistance. Part of it is what's it called? EAP, is it EAP, on it? EAP, employee assistance. I mean, the HR is there for such issues as well. Unfortunately, Dr. Malita, that's why the board is always appointed, so that when there are challenges within the bureaucratic side of an organization, that's where the board comes into assist. But from what we get, it seems some of the board members don't even know what's happening. From the report that we got from the OIMG, it seems there are two people who are calling the shot in that 8-person organization. Can I note others while I'm still where are my questions now? Okay, who has Dinevozalalo? Oh, okay. Where's this question? It's an important one. Now it's lost. Okay, I'll allow honorable members to ask other questions. I will give so that we'll give another round of applause. Honorable Story, Honorable Sweli, Honorable Dapane, Honorable Mshwana, Honorable Mamunda, in that order. Honorable Story.
No, Chairperson, I'm quiet because I'm trying to reconcile what Pastor said, except when they came in. I remember that. What you have just alluded to about them not having enough funds. And now when I see this, I'm trying to reason why exactly. Why exactly is this escalating to such heights? Because it is costing that a lot of. And you are quite right to say the board is there to deal with such issues. And I just have one question. That IPASAS is one of the stakeholders in the department. Is there anything disturbing in terms? Because I think you are not listening to me. What's wrong?
No, I'm listening. You see, Master, hey, so you know me so well that you can say. No, I have to be disturbed because one of the issues that I'm getting here, I'm sorry to just write on you like that, is that in pencil, especially in the bureaucratic process, the people were colonizing against one another, you know, because it's in here. They were colonizing against one another. And now it is when the deal has not gone right, the other one is not. Because one of the understandings, unfortunately, for the CEO was to say that what is here is that that's why he was saying that Ms. was saying that they were working with, together with Mr. Fenn. Now, unfortunately, Mr. Fenn did not the CEO didn't appoint him as whatever acting, whatever manager, whatever. And now they're fighting. You know, I just hate the state that we that's a state that we are in, you know, for an organization like Pansal, unfortunately, you know, it makes me angry, actually, because everywhere I go, every senior leader is asking me, what is happening to Pansal? You know, you understand, because it's one of the most important, institution, you know. I think I'm not emotional more than that. I just don't understand how does an organization reach such, which is so much legal fees, and everything that is thinking about an organization that is in a deficit of millions, you know. I mean, 6 million is a lot of money for legal fees. But okay, follow my story. Let's just.
I think you have asked so many questions. That's the reason why I'm saying here. I sat here quietly and listened because I'm quite surprised what is going on. You know, for what you're saying just now, an institution like CANSAV that is so important. And you are quite right to say there is something wrong. There are people who are calling shots because if you read what CANSAV is saying and the issues that have just come up, somebody was ill, could come and attend, and is not in a position really to give us you have to insist that he must talk. It's just not on.
Yes.
Just not on. There's something wrong. And what I was asking is that it turns out the stakeholders in the department, after all, after with the board, they what other, you know, avenues like the minister and or the department have they gone to maybe to go and ask for assistance and intervention? Like now, I really think this should be defended there because as parliament, we are not going to resolve this here. I think it must go back to the minister at the end. I'm just waiting to take a decision, Chairman. You can ask other questions. Because I've made my mental from here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. The one other thing is that Mr. Stokinalit, how do you feel that the board really can justify paying over 7 million on legal fees? Really, does it feel really justified to do that? But I must say, unfortunately, Mr. Singh, maybe it's your first time in Parliament. Oh, you are not coming for the first time. Oh, you've been here before. Hey, but I don't trust that you're speaking the truth. That your children were sick? I am not convinced.
I can show you a photograph of my daughter's operation.
Oh, you have an operation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I want the records.
I'll show you.
Okay.
I would like to know, as raised, all these costs have been paid to whom, by whom, because you said last time you have got no money. Where did this money come from? That's my one. I think that is all, because some have been taken.
After this round, then we'll ask them to respond, then we'll take another one.
Yeah, no, it's not a right to your question about the court order that ordered Pemfab to reinstate the employees. You know, we talked about this in our last meeting with them, that even if you have got something to say, you first comply with the court order.
Yes.
What I want to know now is, when was this order given by the court to reinstate these employees? If they are not yet reinstated now, when was this court order given? Is that right to your question?
Thank you. Honorable Mshan, you end up.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Very short question. The first one is an apparent, because we're having an unqualified response, that's one thing. But this is the state of affairs. One wonders if, because we know that an unqualified report is caused by the fact that people report when they have to, they give reports, but you can't definitely rely on an unqualified report if you look at the state of affairs within the company. And I'm doubtful if we
detect that there's something that can be trusted. And then on relationships, I know people talk of it, but I need to say what I wanted to say about it. Don't you have a code of conduct? Because if we have relationships that they may be relied on the boss, I mean every institution is made up of people, you are a team. But if there is a boss who is calling the shots, it means that maybe there is something wrong, maybe there's a flaw in your code of, in your code of, if you have your code of conduct. And one would maybe advise that you look into that. So that it doesn't matter who sits on top. Whoever sits on top must remember that you are driving the vehicle. It's not all about you. And it's worrying on the relationship. And maybe one should check who monitors the children. Because it's like we are getting this report, and they come from the leader. But back to the code of conduct, who monitors, who is giving us this report? Yes, thank you.
I think on what you have asked, Onomfana, I just want to stress this point, that there's an ambiguity in the Act to say that PANSA reports to this portfolio committee in Parliament. The last time they even had in a record that they don't report to the minister, according to Act. But the funny part, the Treasury regulations are saying that they get money from the minister. But which minister is that? That is the Minister of the Arts and Culture. That's why when it suits them, they say they report to the minister when they want money, but when they don't want, they report to Parliament. So I thought I should just clarify that, if you remember in the last portfolio committee. Mr. Mabundi will have the last one then. Oh, you know it? You raise your hand? Or you have forgotten? Did you raise your hand?
Yes, of course.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Just one, question which sounds like a concern. When we listen in the presentation, it was made very clear that in PANSA there is no grievances. And let's try to bring our thinking to Mother Earth and interpret the way we are talking literally. What does it mean if there are fights on top? The leadership is fighting the board, the CEO, and so on. But it is being said that there is no grievances in Salva. So let's come to the literal meaning of those statements so that we can understand exactly what is happening there. Chair, that is a simple concern.
Thank you, Dr. Madeta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There have been a series of questions that have been asked. And with your permission, Madam Chair, I'll respond in terms of the ground to some of them, and then I'll refer to the members of PANSA here. We are here to also refer to respond to some of the questions which are specific to their departments. If you allow me, Chair, I would first allude to the fact that the concerns that were raised by the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee really to say the need for frequent review with regard to the issue of the relationship in Tensal really has to we have to look at that with the view of the background that I've also indicated of the findings and observations that I've made as a person at Tensal, that there's a series, if you look back, of the conflict that has been carrying on and the tension that has been taking place between the Department of Arts and Culture and the CEO. That thing has got a long history. And probably one of the reasons, if I, of course, I'm going to be corrected, is that there's that term that is being shared of the language development. And there's a need also there for the portfolio committee also to look at how these, you know, relationships and responsibilities can be toned down, the common understanding on how we can operate. We have, it is true that we have referred and debated about the issue of authority, who is reporting to who. And with your recommendation, we did meet with the Office of Institutions Supporting Democracy to look at those issues. And it was also clarified there by the office that with regard to governance issues, there should be a communication between the chairperson of the board and the minister. But in regards to operational issues, there should also be a communication between the DG and the CEO, and in this case, the acting CEO. Yes, there were issues that the recommendations that were referred to by the office of institutions supporting democracy, that to find out just what is the problem with the reinstatement, especially with regard to this one of Advocate Fanning. And our response was this letter, it is already in court, we would then await the outcome, and therefore, because it has already been challenged. But I understand now with the view of the honorable members that there are no other ways that this can be operated or done. But having said that, Chairperson, one of the first questions that you asked was the one of the comments.
No, Dr. Malet, I have to cut it down. Please answer the question. The question was, when the court order said you must reinstate Mr. Fane, why did you do so? And not challenge it while inside. What was the reason? That is, we want to know what was the reason why you couldn't, as also Dr. Ndabane has asked.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I think also the acting CEO will respond to that. But what happened when the court order was delivered, the principal was not represented. And therefore, it was done in the absence of.
Why was Pansel not represented?
I mean, the information didn't go to Pansel, informing that there is this court case that had to take place where Pansel had to be represented. And in the absence of Pansel representation,
I just don't believe.
It's quite a challenge.
Yes.
How do they pay so much money, and then when they say, an outcome of court, they are not informed and they are not present? And but they, you say there are other, recurring
expenses.
Yes. But this statement that is given to us by Dr. Malike, I don't think it's assisting us. Maybe he should say something else. It's just not explainable. What kind of
We are trying to understand, Dr. Malid, here. Really, just be honest with this portfolio committee, because we are going to make us angry while we are very heavy today. Please, just be honest with this portfolio committee, really, because, okay, now let me ask a writer to send this. Then I'm saying that if then you were represented, you were still going to challenge it. Maybe I must say that. Were you still going to challenge it if it had stayed? We must reinstate. Even the portfolio committee submitted you that you must reinstate Mr. Simelani and Mr. Hussein, and Advocate Kajayo at the back was part of the recommendations, and the portfolio committee said it twice. Why were they? So I challenge that you were not represented today in court. That's the only thing. So you received it late.
Before you respond.
No, I'm sure.
Okay, before you respond, this is really confusing. Pansel was represented, and they, as the Honorable Stoltz have said, they paid such a lot of money. And as far as I understand court procedure,
yes.
The trial date or the hearing date is agreed upon by both parties.
Yes.
Why now did it happen that they're not aware that they're supposed to be in court, whereas they're represented in this case? This is really confusing.
We have to be confused, because now that's what I know, that both parties are represented. Lena is a vendor. Unless Kefaniga, we must go back to that court and tell us why. Then that court must write and tell us, as a portfolio committee, why then it did not follow the right processes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I will give the acting chair to respond to that as well. And the deputy chair, because my understanding also is that it is true that the legal team of Pansel should have been informed.
I think, Dr. Malite, here, let's not blame games. To me, it seems you are just blank about what happened. The person who knows must just tell us what really happened. I think you want to give it to Advocate Mr. Sweep, because
Man bona ingathi ufakwe esitshele esimnyama, from what I can see from here, unless ngiyaphukela.
And I rely, Chairperson, on, because the board relies on the information that is given to it by the office of the
Senate. Thank you. Well, yes, I'm correct. Then, Deputy Chair, you have something to say?
Yeah.
In my camera.
Thank you. Since this is causing a debate, the issue at hand is the court order that was given was the court order on the appeal of a case of after dismissal. The thing is, the appeal, when Advocate Feni, the representative, went to the court, Pencil was not there because he didn't have information before that day. And I believe this is the procedure that maybe honorable members know, or the other party should be there. But this was not the case. It was only the Advocate Feni and his representative. When Pencil was not represented. And the funds, that the money that we're talking about, is not of one court. It's a lot of...
I have to stop you there. Deputy Chair, you are in the Portfolio Committee of Parliament. You have raised your issues there. We understand what you are saying. You are on this issue. Now you are saying on the appeal. But when Dr. Malito was saying, he did not say on the appeal. Said on the statement. So no, who's cut up, Dr. Dan? Let the person who knows. I think Mr. Swepu, just answer, because now it seems we all know what we can do. No, we understand. When you put on the slide that it's not only one case, but now we are specifically on these two cases. And let's have no comments.
Please, I'll write and I'd like to go on the basis that. Although board members are informed by the ACDO on this matter, the legal team also presents these matters to the board. It's not only the ACDO that presents the matters. From the legal team, it's that Advocate Feni brought in a number of appeals against it. And during that day, we're in the court, ruled for him, not against him. Was the Pencil was not there. But then...
When the court ruled?
Yes. Then the issue was that the case, the Pencil had to appeal. And the judge, even later, realized that that was not proper. And I'm not a legal person. But I know, you know, in court, this decision was made to be rescinded later in other courts, because these are many courts that are taking place, going on. So, you know, as the chairperson was saying, if we would be digging deep into this, our legal team should have been here. We are dealing with, you know, I liked the issue that
if we're going to deep. Are you not informed that the portfolio committee asks everything?
Yeah, that's what I'm realizing.
No, but now you are saying your legal team, you would have been here. We thought the issues when we raised. You see, now you are saying to us, you did not bring the legal team because you didn't know what we're going to ask. But one of the requirements was that we asked for. Where was Fagem Kodi? My mind is. We asked for this presentation because we wanted this legal team. Now, if you knew, you would have brought your legal team. But I believe that there is a report. You see, now you are contradicting yourself even to the words. You are making us now go even deeper and deeper.
But then the issue here is we are lay people in law. There are.
Why do you answer then if you are a lay person in law? Because you are making the. No, we can't have a dialogue here. Because what we want here is answers, you know? Yes.
This chairperson, they are members of parliament, because of they have taken oath by the judge of this country. And we are aware of what we are doing. I'm sure we need to do that.
ourselves and make other people aware that whatever we are saying here, sort of we must be careful that you are putting us in another way around. But please let somebody must answer us. I'm not convinced on this answer. Because I believe the member just said he's a lay man or lay lady in this matter. Let me leave these things. Give it to the person that will answer.
Thank you. Because Deputy Chair is saying she's a layman, it's not me, it's her. So if she's a layman, why is she answering? The person who must answer is Mr. Sesmo, because Dr. Malita has said that he will have more information. Mr. Sesmo is going to spend the report for the committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I do want to start by appreciating that we are being given an opportunity to dialogue with the portfolio committee, and we want to take that opportunity. And in doing so, we may from time to time have different opinions, and I think we need to appreciate that as well. Both the chairperson and the deputy chair are correct that the board is briefed by the legal team. And the deputy chair is also correct that in expressing her own understanding of the issue, it may be affected by how she understands the law. And I'm in a position to answer this, Chair.
Yes, Master.
I don't know what you were looking for Mr. Secretary. I think what you were looking for is not what you said.
That I was about to object, but I thought I should just listen because Uzabangat is a personal. So I thought I should just listen because what I want is the answer that has been asked.
That's the thing. Ka. Ubuchi, deputy chair.
What?
And there was Tazala, nominated as Tazala, who is assigned Ubuchi Magaela. But we know that they've got their, legal people as institutions. But that's not what we want here. And we understand very well that is why we've gone so far with this issue. And we've heard so many stories about the whole thing. Now we are here and we want to resolve this, and we don't want to, as they are saying, they can go deep deep. We don't want the deep deep. We've gone there already.
Actually, I'm interested in the deep deep now. Actually, I'm more interested in the deep deep now, more than the answer that I was looking for, because it seems there are many things that are hidden. If then you go to the deep deep, that means DG, there's more things. Kalamau, we are deeper. There's more deeper. So Funa Uko and Alondo Leyo, because you see. Okay.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. But I must also appeal, Chair, that there must be tolerance when we are responding, but also giving context. We don't want to answer like we are robots in the portfolio committee. On the 22nd of June, we presented to the portfolio committee facts around the fact that the document related to the agents of APRAN was not served on our legal team. There was a mishap between our legal team and the office in that it was irregularly served at the office. We presented that on the 2nd. It's in the files that we gave this house. It is not the first time we're presenting facts around that, which is why I want to immediately move to why Mr. Feeney has not been reinstated.
Uh-huh.
But let me also, for the record, say there has been no such recommendation coming to us from this House. The meeting of the 22nd of June resolved that the office led by Advocate Petroi should engage us on the matter. It did engage us. We had a meeting subsequently. It requested that the board should consider these issues and respond to it and indicate how it is going to go forward. And the board responded as following. Firstly, even though there is a judgment of the 18th of April that says Advocate Feeney must be reinstated, we believe that implementing such, which we believe has not been attained correctly, would prejudice the board. Advocate Feeney went further to then challenge, because it is only the court that can declare us in contempt of the order.
No,
require that I be imprisoned for contempt of court. That order was struck off the roll. He went further to apply for writ of execution of the order. Because the order, honorable members, does not only say Advocate Finney must be reinstated. This is another issue. It also grants him all those matters which we did not oppose because we were not there, which is that he must be paid 1.5 million rand, 1.3 million rand with 15% in interest. Now, these are the issues that we were saying. We have a prima facie case to deal with those issues. We then, his request for that I be imprisoned for contempt of court was dismissed. We went on the 12th of August. We appeared in front of Judge Portrait, where Advocate Feni had requested APSA to pay him the amount of 1.3 in terms of that order in what is called the writ of execution. We attained an order to stop that. Then Advocate Feni applied and we went in front of Judge Portrait on the 12th of August. Now what Judge Portrait said was that we need to consolidate all the matter, and that Advocate Feni's order in relation to the to that amount which he was applying for cannot be implemented, and that she gives us about 15 days, if I remember very well, to file an application for rescission, and that all those matters must then be dealt with on the 16th of September. On the basis of that, you can already see that we have a prima facie case. She also says an investigation will be made in the Pretoria High Court on the irregularities that have happened in that court. Because there have been irregularities. There have been two courts sitting on the same matter arriving at different conclusions. So she said all those matters will be consolidated on the 16th of September and would be dealt with. She did also indicate that the judge that gave Advocate Feni the order, she does not understand how we would have arrived at that. So we have this consolidated matter being set for on the 16th of September to deal with these issues. We are appealing to Parliament that let us all respect that process. We would respect the judgment on the 16th of September because there have been many issues that have been brought by Advocate Feni in court, including a claim of 38 million rand. Now, from where I'm sitting, if someone were to take you to court claiming 38 million rand, would it not be it be irresponsible for us not to defend ourselves against that? This is the context of why we have been defending ourselves. We have been taken to court. We have defended ourselves on these matters. But we appeal that we give the process of the 16th of September an opportunity to finalize this matter. These matters are subject to in court, and we respect the court's decision. Also, insofar as the case of Mrs. Ngozi is concerned, I think we do need to say that in that particular case, the board did attempt to have settlement, and she refused it. That as well we have contained in the documents we have given to Parliament on the 22nd of June. With regard to Mr. Simelane, I personally went to KwaZulu-Natal to negotiate with him that he returned to work. He did not accept our discussion, and I presented to the board. But I would also, Chairperson, want to say that is so far as the legal matters are concerned. I would certainly allow my colleagues to speak on other matters, including the relationships between staff. But I also do want to say to the Portfolio Committee that I too have been affected by this. I have been investigated left, right, and center. Papers have been written, so many things about me.
Who's investigating?
You know,
who's investigating me?
I've been investigated by PricewaterhouseCoopers, the board ordered that on the basis of Advocate Feni's demand. communications and how I have appointed executive managers was irregular. PricewaterhouseCoopers declared the process very regular, that there was no problem with the process, that I have this qualification. But the writing continues into newspapers and so on, and so I'm saying I am also suffering there in the process. It is not only Advocate Fanny who is suffering. I am suffering, there are writings about me, and we are following court processes here. Last week Friday, Advocate Fanny and his lawyer called to want to negotiate a settlement. What settlement? I'm asking myself the same thing. But we said they must write, and up until today they have not written that. So it is not as if we have been running to court and not talking to these colleagues. So certainly, I do not want to be portrayed as a one-man show in the organization. I also want to say, with regards to approval of fees, before I give to the CFO and other colleagues, we have a clearance form in the organization for paying any matter. Now, if there are issues of legal fees on industrial matters, they would come through HR, and they would be recommended by the project manager. It will go to finance, who will attach the division from which the funding comes from. It must be signed by finance. From finance, it goes to the CFO, who must recommend it. And then final approval is sought from me. So I am advised by all these layers. And we have presented these things on the 22nd of June, including the PricewaterhouseCoopers investigation. It is in that file. So I am certainly not running a one-man show at Tencent. In fact, Chairperson, we have improved processes at Tencent. That is why we are getting this unqualified audit opinion. And in as much as members are saying these unqualified audit opinions do not prove that there is nothing wrong, but also when three union members write to Parliament in the name of staff and then staff disputes that, I'm relating to what a grievance is. And staff members dispute that. The union itself in its communication does not say people have signed the grievance. It says attended thereto is an attendance register. Now, we have got to follow the grievance procedure, as I started, is not an optional procedure. It is a procedure that binds us. It's part of the disciplinary code of the organization. If I were to take something, jump the board, and take it to Parliament, Parliament would certainly have to bring it back to my attention that I must raise this thing with the board because the grievance procedure says so. But it would also have to advise me on what a grievance is. Because I can't wake up today, I don't agree with the board. I don't engage them. I'm glad I've been elected today. Tomorrow I write to Parliament. I don't engage the board on the issues that I'm saying are grievances. Mr. Wilson would speak to, because I also want them to speak, to the issues of staff. Because as far as we are concerned, we are actually shocked that there are people who hold the view that things are not fine at Pensas. We are shocked because I'm sure even those who went there to check whether there's a strike can attend to it. That there was no strike, the people were happy, they were working. But in organizations, you would have people for various reasons that I said, if we were given an opportunity, we would have responded to each of those issues. There would be people who would write out there, we can on the basis of that say things are not okay. And I certainly would be the first one to welcome an investigation at Pensam if the AG reports and what the AG says to Parliament does not satisfy the other aspect. I would be the first one. In fact, I think such an investigation would assist us all to understand the organization better. I would be the first one to welcome it. In fact, I think that's the paid close to 300,000 for forensic investigators to investigate allegations. So we would welcome such an investigation, Madam Chair. But I also do want to say, lastly, I may come back later if there are issues that I need to add on what the managers would have responded to. I do want to say that it is Parliament that has passed the Labour Relations Act.
Mm.
It is Parliament that has passed these labour laws we are following.
Mm.
And certainly, certainly, for instance, let me make you another example. Mr. Ntlangana was fired by me after having been found guilty by a chairman of an independent committee. I had discussions with him and he is back at work and working. I have attempted to resolve these issues with all these people. Evidence is there. But certainly, we cannot abort discipline and the code of conduct of the organization as much as we have got to resolve matters amicably as Africans.
I must say, before you leave with SIP, just to say that after the last meeting, you explained about going to Durban. I called Mr. Usmelan because I wanted to also to clear your name on the allegations. To say, no, Mr. Sek was there. He said, I'm just raising this so that you can know. You know, I've got nothing to hide. That's why I said you have got nothing to hide. I sent to him, Mr. I even informed, whatever I do, I informed the portfolio committee members. I called Mr. Usmelan and said to him, Mr. Sek, said you must come back to work, but you refused. Then he said to me, he had to come to work with certain conditions. I'm not conditions. Remember, I don't know, but I said those are conditions. No, I'm just trying to show that you might think we are crucifying you. No, we are not. Because I had called him and said, oh, Mr. Sebu, what are we doing? When awala. In my EP now, and then he said with condition. You see, unfortunately for you, Mr. Sebu, you are in the hot seat. So everything that comes to us, nothing, because you must tell us the truth. Yeah, we are not saying that we are crucifying. I said at first we are not crucifying you, but you must just tell us the truth so that now your name has to be cleared on all of this, because everything, unfortunately, you are the senior person, so it's going to be back at you. Don't be worried by it, you must not intimidate you. But we are saying the only thing we want, Mr. Sip, is the truth. We understand. But if you can understand that from that point of view, you won't have a problem. There is nothing personal against it. Because for the fact that we raise an issue to say that, can't you solve these things in a civil manner? We are not saying that if you go wrong, you don't take him to via the labor processes. We are saying those are the last, especially the court. I mean, for your state of government, but you see now the administrative part, when it appears, it's like first of all taking every money to where? To court, because you can't even never tell us the name of programs and no money, but unfortunately, we have to deal with it because unfortunately, we are running a very important. A state of organization. Okay. Now tell us before you say Evangele Yoga Abanye Begeko, Abanye Abia Biko. What do you do in that process? Are we challenge about the advocates or you challenge the court, because it's not a court's responsibility to inform you in the right procedure. Okay, this is a day of appeal. Is it not going to be like that?
Thank you very much.
Mm.
Check a look, we are following court processes,
mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm not in jail, despite the fact that it is said I'm in contempt of court.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in contempt of court. If I was, I would not be here today. Because Advocate Fanny did make that application. It did not succeed. Because everybody, we are entitled to challenge a ruling. Even if we were there, let's also go there. Even if we were there, and we lost. I mean, he has lost a number of times. He continues to appeal and challenge issues, it is his right. It's in the law. We also have the same right which he has when we believe that a judge has arrived at a wrong decision. And judges arrive at wrong decisions, which is why there are different layers of court, so that you appeal this judge's decision. So we would have challenged this judge's decision because it is incorrect. We believe that it is incorrect. Even subsequent to that, Judge Kuti rescinded, which is subject to our application. It's also unfortunate here that Advocate Feni is here, because some of those things which we now say here are in our application, which we must launch.
Okay. They were said before the court. But so court order who the officer.
When he lost that application that IBJ, he caught young players going to Bazanga to 20. Why are you HR manager? HR manager, you have a good. We had
for the sake of, sorry, let's just go back to Elisha, forgot that now. I wanted you to be comfortable because I saw you were being edgy.
Thank you, ma'am. He went to the office, the HR. HR informed him that, look, here we are in possession of a letter which our lawyers had written to your lawyers to say,
sure,
we are applying for your decision. And in that letter, it is clearly stated that we have 20 days to consider a judgment. And he left. He obviously said, I had chased him away. There is transcript of court where he has not been able to prove that he has been chased away by me. I'm not saying I wouldn't have chased him, but on that particular day, I did not have the opportunity.
Just the last, I'm sorry to be doing this, Honorable Members. Just be honest and be civil to him. Nibanga, no offense. What are you fighting for? Maybe just tell the court for no comment. Who then you say you can't even go to the highest legislation in the Nibanga and Dr. Malitian? I'm sorry to say this. You as board members are there to guide on such things that they don't go to this level. I have to. And that's why I asked you a question earlier on, Dr. Malitian, say, how do you justify to dismiss, to go for 7 million on the, because what you said to us is that the CEO was dismissed for insubordination. Would you justify the 7 million just for insubordination on, okay, and the one irregularity? You know, I am really trying to understand, Mr. Sepo, what we as portfolio committee members are really trying to understand, because naturally we are under siege. Because the same people that you were fired, I say, Tina, you are taking your side. That's one of the questions that's why now we have to ask, because one of the media questions I told the teacher was saying that we as the Portfolio Committee of Parliament are taking your side. One of them was accusing me of being your friend. That's why I don't ask you all those questions. And I what you get is also what you get, unfortunately. Because really, would it go that far, Dr. Marita, because that's why the board is there. To prevent such issues. I'm not saying that when a person has contravened the labor actions or contravened anything, or the human resource relations. I just want to understand. But I think let's talk about this court now. Unless I saw Dr. Lotra, you wanted to, before you answer. Dr. Lotra, you had your hand up. I saw it flying. I think you wanted, and now it's just like, that's why we have no agenda, Dr. Malik, because we wanted these things to be resolved. Although some of them, as you say, will respect the judgment of the 16th, but we have to understand the portfolio committee. What is happening? Because Umko Kelimang Tumala, we are more than you, you know. If I say anything contrary, you are also not going to be happy with it. You know? Dr. Rothschild, what would you like?
Thank you, Chair. It was at that point I needed some clarification, because I want to go right back to the whole question of why Advocate Feni was not reinstated, because I'm not quite yet
all of that.
don't really have the answer there. And perhaps the advocate here could assist us, because I don't have my documents here.
Yes.
But I remember, because what I get now is that the board was not informed, they were not aware, etc., of the judgment. And I don't think we need to go into the merits of the judgment.
Yes.
At this point, there are other procedures to do that. But there was an issue of 14 days that I remember specifically, that the reason given for the not reinstating was because they had 14 days. And the comment was that there isn't such a thing, that you have 14 days to decide on whether to reinstate or not.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members and colleagues. Yes, Chairperson, the issue in the meeting that we had with the board was that there was a valid court order, and we all agreed on that one, that there was a valid court order which said Advocate Fanny must be reinstated with immediate effect. And then we learned later that Advocate Fanny was not reinstated, but when he went there, he was then requested to go back. And the reasons were given by the board and their legal representative, which is somebody from outside, not necessarily from the board itself, was that they understood it that they had 14 days to take a decision on what they wanted to do with the court order. And their intention was that they were going to have it rescinded. And we then asked them as to what rule it is that they are talking about that gives them 14 days. And we also pointed it out to the CEO that the court order itself says with immediate effect. And they were not able to give us any authority for the rule that says 14 days. And therefore, we came to a conclusion that there isn't any 14 days. The court order says with immediate effect, and therefore he should have been reinstated right there and then at Chairperson. And if I may also take this opportunity to say, once we realized that we're at that point, we then requested the CEO that the CEO must go back and consult the Chairperson of the board on a much more strategic approach to take on this particular matter. And the reason why we agreed on that one was because we were looking at the legal costs that were escalating after the court order had been issued. Because if the court order had been issued and Mr. Fanny was brought on board the organization, some of these legal costs would have been prevented. So the main issue was the fact that the legal costs kept escalating, precisely because Mr. Fanny, once he was not reinstated, he then went for contempt. And that then meant more legal costs for PenSouth, because Mr. Fanny would not be able to pay for this cost even if we continue going to court. We then said, should we continue going to court and in fact the court granting legal costs in favor of the board against Mr. Fanny, but knowing that Mr. Fanny would not be able to pay them anyway and that PenSouth would continue paying for this cost. So we then thought that maybe the CEO and the chairperson could sit and then say, maybe this is a much more strategic way of dealing with the matter. I don't know whether it helps, ma'am. Thank you.
So now, thank you. Now this is contrary now, if I'm listening correct, to what is being said aside. It is just contrary now. So now, who is speaking the truth? DG, that's why I was requesting that meeting. Well, now, what we project? Who is coming with another? Paulo. Members, I think you are getting the gist why we are asking these questions. And was there a formal letter written to Mr. Banzo? Despite you calling, did you write him a formal letter of reinstatement?
The issue of Mrs. Miller. He was given this order by the CCMA.
Oh, by the way.
Not by a court. Which we believe have been incorrectly arrived at.
What do you mean incorrectly arrived at? What do you mean when you say incorrectly arrived at?
Yes, thank you,
sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. If you read the documentation we gave on the 22nd of June,
it's here in front of us, actually.
There is an order by the CCMA, and we have stated our grounds on why we want that court, that order reviewed. Because the CCMA only considered two matters from a hearing which had dealt with about five, if not six, matters. But that issue is for review in the Labour Court, and the difficulty is to speak about our defense. But what I did before that, before going for the review, I went to meet with Mr. Simulane and his lawyer.
Okay. Honourable members, I did not even realize that it's so late. If you would allow just 10 minutes, you can take a finger lunch and eat while we are here. Is it fine? Please, just 10 minutes so that we can start coming, because at 3 we must be finished. Yes. But before that, about you, call, who's the lamp will work?
For the fact that we have requested counsel to be here, is to help us.
Yes.
And help us drive, the whole process into some kind of getting some solution or positive solution. I think by now, there's nothing we are getting. We have been seeking information that would help us to attain that, but we are not getting it. I wanted to advise the chairperson that, please come closer to the end of this discussion, because some of us already have, maybe not all, already have some facts that would support some kind of resolution proposal. Thank you.
What do you propose, Mr. Ntepala?
I wanted to leave it with other members so that they all finish up with their questions. I don't want to come with a proposal now.
Okay. Can we take a moment?
Yes, I did my hand up. I don't know whether it is fair for us as members of parliament to be subjected to this. Because, after the information given to us by the CEO, they have been defending themselves. And it says nothing to him that it is taxpayer money. That is very serious. Are we going to allow ourselves to be subjected to this? And we have a board that is supposed to be executing duties. It seems not to be doing that at this moment. And we have here an institution that accounts to Parliament because of the funds that they use. These are government funds and which are taxpayers. Money. And at the same time, we have such, a defense from the CEO. I really think this is a very serious issue. I think we must come to an end, and we are not going to attend. We belong to other committees. We have sacrificed today. We don't go there. And we get such, explanations that are prolonging. They are going as far as deep. Yes. No, we can't, Chairperson. Really, we must come to it. That is the reason why I was saying we have to defend this partly to the department. And because this issue of saying they don't account to the department, it's not always us here in Parliament, because they are using the taxpayers' money. And some of these issues could have been long resolved. For that matter, what has been asked by the previous speaker here of why did they take into consideration the decisions that were made by the court? Now we get another explanation.
someone is going to come with a question, and then we'll get a further explanation. That this is just not okay, Chairperson. Can you please conduct?
You know what? I'll just to get other clarity on other issues. Allow me, honourable members. Let's just refer to the two issues. Let's offer Mr. Stephanie and Mr. Zwelan. But unfortunately, we still have to get the answers, especially Ms. Ngoza. I know she's appealing to the minister as well on such issues. You know, and I made it my duty also to also engage on some of the issues, because I don't where I choose of being siding with Pencil, you know, because she raised their own issue. I know it's a court matter that I get, but I thought I should just say she is very clear that she did not do anything. It was the interpreter, she doesn't understand the charges, even the irregularity. She explained what it was. But I think that's not our matter, but I'm just trying to show you how we have gone, because we have to listen to both sides. If I was not saying enough, Mr. Zwelan, I wouldn't be telling you this. I would have kept quiet and said, I don't know. But let's leave these three questions, but I would like all these other questions that we've answered on the operations to be answered. We leave these other three.
Thank you, Chair. I will just
Respond
to the over to Mr. Ngozi, who is the head of corporate services, to also make his input.
Okay, before you answer, I think let's just wait for 10 minutes. Then we will take whatever, then come back, please. Just 10 minutes.